Amen. So I want you to turn into the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter. Turn in your Bibles to the Philippians, the fourth chapter. I want you to read along with us if you don't have a Bible up there, but I want you to get it. I want you to see it up close. We're going to have a number of scriptures here, and I really want you to mark it up in your Bible because this is a very, very, very important lesson for all of you. All of us. Philippians, the fourth chapter and the eighth verse. When you have it, say amen. The Bible says this: finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. I want you to underline these words just as you see it up here. I have it in yellow and underlined. I want you to highlight this in your Bibles. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. He said, think on these things. What things? Anything that is true, honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report, the things that have virtue or virtuous, and the things that are praiseworthy, those things, he says, I want you to think on. You have to recognize this. And this is so important for you guys to recognize. And I am specifically talking to those that are here today because it's really something that God has impressed upon me. He's even given me a word for some of you, and I'm going to share that with you at the end of this. But He's really giving me a word for you that says it has a lot to do. And this is something that you're going to have to understand because it's about what you have been saying in your heart. This is your prayer. God is responding. Just like he responded to me, today God is responding to you because he's heard you speak. He's heard some of the questions that you have. In your mind, you've been thinking about some things and you have been questioning some things. Even your own status of where you are, who you are, and those kinds of things. And he wants to tell you something today. He wants you to understand, first of all, that prosperity begins with what you think. He wants you to understand that success begins with what you think. Even your destiny begins with what you think. Proverbs. Proverbs 23 and 7. Turn there. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. We got to understand that the things that are up here, the things that we have in our mind, really is the basis for all of the other things. What I heard Creflo Dollar talk about is, he takes about the things that you think about, begins the things that you say and the things that you do, on and on and on. And that's what brought me right back to this. I said, yes, Lord, that's exactly what you had been telling me. But the things that are in your mind is the basis for everything, wherever you're going to be. If you're going to make it, and I know some of you are struggling through some things, if you're going to make it, it will begin with how you think. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We used to say back at Ambassador, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Same thing. As he thinketh in his heart. So what does that scripture say? That scripture says that what is in your heart, what gets into your heart, started from what came through your mind. You had to first think it, then it got into your heart. Now, I hear Stephanie say this all the time. I told them people back there, I got somebody, I don't know if this is a California saying or just her, but, you know, think it, don't speak it. You've heard her say that, right? Think it, don't speak it. And I was thinking about that, and I said, Lord, something about that statement. And it basically tells us that it's all right to think something as long as you don't let it come out of your mouth. Now, see, a lot of times we have become very educated about the power of the tongue, haven't we? In the Christian community, you've heard a lot of messages, a lot of people talk about how important it is for us to guard what comes out of this tongue, and rightfully so. Because what you speak out of your mouth will activate faith, either positively or negatively. If you speak defeat and doubt and confusion, you're going to be defeated, always in doubt, and always confused. If you keep saying, I don't know, you won't know. What you speak out of your mouth is very, very important, and we don't need to minimize that. It is very important, but what I often find is that as I really thought about this whole message, I realized that we spend so much energy and so much time saying, be careful what you say, that we don't take the time to think about what was the source of what you said. You ever say something and it just slipped out and you say, where'd that come from? Oops, where did that come from? And Stephanie will say, think it, don't speak it. And then often, but what happens is we end up saying it and we didn't catch it. It was just there, and it came out before I had a chance to hold it back. You know, it just came out. Well, think about this. Where did it come from to begin with? Where did it come from to begin with? What we think about in our mind, think about this. What we think about in our mind becomes what we believe in our heart. And what we believe in our heart eventually is going to be what we speak out of our mouth. Let me say that again. You got to understand it. Think about the source now. I want to take you back to the source. What we think about in our mind, sooner or later, it's going to become a part of our heart. It's going to be what we believe in our heart. And the things that we believe in our heart eventually is going to come out of our mouth. You got some Christians that misapply, not necessarily misquote, but they misapply Matthew 15 and 11. So I want to explain this just a little bit to you. Matthew 15 and 11 says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. Think about this. Now, you know, back in the day, what we always said is not what goes into you that defiles you, but it's what comes out of you. And that's kind of true, but let's be more specific and speak the word just as it says, and I think it helps you to understand it a little bit better. But it's saying, it actually says, that thing that goes into the mouth, the things that go into the mouth, in other words, the things we eat, what goes in your mouth, stuff that you eat, right? That ends up just going into waste. So that doesn't defile you from a spiritual standpoint. The things that go into your mouth simply comes out as waste. But what about the source of the thing that came out? Where did that come from? That's really what you need to find out. Don't be so concerned about the things that's going into your mouth. But the things that come out of your mouth, you need to be concerned about where it came from and the source of it. Amen? So, we a lot of times think about this scripture and kind of miss it. But when we think about Matthew 12 and 34 and think about what is the source of the thing that came out of our mouth, Matthew 12 and 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we are concerned about protecting and guarding the thing that's in our mouth, what you really need to be doing is guarding whatever got into your heart. So don't be so concerned. We talk about the things that come out of you, defile you. It's those things that you speak, but we oftentimes completely forget about, well, why don't we deal with the things that got into us? Why don't you think about the things that's in your heart? Because I don't care how much you try to guard it, eventually, let me hit the wrong nerve. You know, you stub your toe just the wrong time. Somebody say something to you just at the wrong time when your guard wasn't up. See, I can say something to you now. You over here in church, and you all holy right now. And so I may be able to tell you off and get you mad, and you just say, bless the Lord. You know, I got to love you. I got to love you. You know, you in that frame of mind. But let me get you outside of here. Get on the job where your mind has not been in the sanctuary. And somebody come up to you and say the wrong thing. And something come out and you end up having to go back and apologize. You, or it just came out. You know what? It was in your heart. You thought about me that way all along. That's the way you felt all along. And so rather than placing so much emphasis on what comes out of our mouth, why don't we think about what is in our heart? What did we allow to habitate in our heart? And how did we get it there? How did we allow it to get there? Let me give you an example. See, so turn to 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter. I want to read a little bit of a story here for you. Now, if you want to be sure if I want to be sure that I don't speak things that defile, then I need to make sure that there is nothing in my heart that is defiled. Does that make sense? See, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles you. In other words, what you speak will defile you. But listen, don't so much concentrate on trying to guard the thing that comes out of your mouth. If you focus on what is in your heart that is defiling, we got defiled things in our heart that we allow to stay in our heart, and we think, as long as I don't speak it, I'm all right. You just haven't been put in the right circumstance yet. And then some of you have been put in the right circumstance, so you know you can say amen. So what is in your heart that is defiling? What have you allowed to stay and harbor in your heart that is already corrupted? Let me give you an example of how this works. Even, and none of us are immune to this. I'm talking to Christians. David. How many remember the story of David and Bathsheba? For those children, let me just read this little story to you. In 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 4, it says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, that the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself." And the woman was beautiful. No, it says the woman was very beautiful to look upon. "And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house." David had something, allowed something into his heart that ended up defiling him. But how did it get there? The scripture says, look at the progression of things, because stuff don't get into your heart any old kind of way. And it's not very easy to get into your heart. It's very easy to come into your mind, but it's not easy to get into your heart. But the Bible says David, first of all, saw. I mean, the windows, the eyes are the window to our hearts. It's the doorway, but we stand at the door. We are the guardian. Remember that. But David saw, and instead of immediately rebuking the thought that came, David took it another step further and said, "I'm not going to do anything, but I'm just going to ask about it." Bible says he, secondly, inquired. How many times do we have thing come to our mind, a thought comes to our mind, And you, being the authoritative guardian of it, have the ability and the power right then to cancel that thing out and say, no, you can't come in. You stand at that door and you just say, come on in, but you just can't go any further than the foyer. I mean, you can't go in my bedroom. You can't go in my living room. You can't go anywhere else, but I'm going to let you in the door, but you can't go anywhere else. David saw. Then secondly, David inquired. And then thirdly, it says David took. David took. This is very dangerous. Look at James, the first chapter. James 1 and 14. Because David allowed this thing to come into his mind, it eventually got into his heart, and it eventually defiled him. Even after she conceived, David still began to think of ways to cover it up. He thought about, first of all, maybe if I can get her husband to come home and sleep with her, then they'll never know whose it is. David forgot, even back then, people knew how to count. Now, wait a minute, see. Now, he was at war. He was in the army. And she, you know, they tend to, you know, forgot that. But when that didn't work, what did David do? David then thought of a way to get rid of the husband. And so all of this is in how David is thinking. It's in his thoughts. And his thoughts is steadily corrupting his heart. His thoughts steadily corrupting his heart because they were unchecked. He didn't stop it. He didn't say no. James 1 and 14 and 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished with you, bringeth forth death. I like what the Living Bible, I'll read this to you again out of the Living Bible. Living Bible says, temptation is the pulling of man's own evil thoughts and wishes. These evil thoughts lead to evil actions and afterward to the death penalty from God. Now, David eventually figured this out. And we see David recognized that what happened to me, what caused me to become defiled and to defile this lady who was already cleansed, what caused me to do it was what was in my heart, what I allowed in my heart. So he recognized that what was defiled was his heart. And when he wrote Psalms 51, do you remember what he said? Now, Psalms 51, for those of you that don't know, Psalms 51 was his prayer to God after he was caught. He was caught, and then he said, oh, God, have mercy upon me, oh, God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercy, blot out my trespass. This was all about that sin with Bathsheba when he wrote Psalms 51. And in the 10th verse of Psalm 51, David acknowledges something very important for us to recognize, that the problem was in his heart. And he said, God, listen, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. David recognized that it was his heart that got corrupted. But how did his heart get corrupted? Listen, make no mistake about it. If you're going to be successful in the many battles and the trials and tribulations that we all as Christians go through, you're going to have to understand that the battleground is in the mind. The battleground is in the mind. Even your thoughts and your attitudes about you. Your thoughts about who you are, what you can accomplish, what you deserve, what you don't deserve. These will all shape your own destiny. A negative opinion about who you are is going to impact your whole life. If you think that somebody of your class, somebody, you know, a lot of times we tend to take this kind of attitude and blame somebody else for where we are because we have a low opinion of ourselves. And we think that, you know, people in my class will never be the big dog on the job. We're never going to be, you know, the people in my class are always going to be the low level blue-collar worker. Let me tell you something. You think that way, you'll never be a manager. If you think negatively about your ability, you know, I didn't go to school, I didn't finish school, I didn't do this, I didn't, you know, then you are never going to apply for that higher job. You're not going to be motivated to go after those things if you don't first think that you can have them. You're not wasting your time. Why in the world would I apply to be the registrar at the institution when I know that it requires a certain standard of people and I know I don't meet that standard? I applied for a registrar job. I got the registrar job when I didn't meet the qualifications. God is able. When we allow our past to tell us what we deserve. Oh, I done made too many mistakes, Lord, and I know what you're saying. We tend to put words in God's mouth, and we'll tell God. We'll stand there and say, God, I know what you're saying. And we think he's saying to us, looking at us, looking down on us with a scowl on his face, and we think that he is saying that, I mean, you just reaping what you sow. You in that position because of your own fault. I know you don't think that I'm going to bless you after what you did. But God is saying, think again. Think again. Because, say, I remember a scripture that tells me that God is attuned. He's attent to the prayers of his people. Listen to what God said in Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Because we've got to get this thing out of our mind about our attitude about ourselves, and we keep binding ourselves to our past. We cause our past to become an entrapment to us and think that even if I don't have the qualifications now, God will either give me the qualifications or God will turn around and change the requirements of the job. I've seen it happen. God will create a whole new position for you and set the qualifications at where you are. Or he'll bring you to the place where you have those qualifications. But if you don't have that in your mind, if you think that because I'm this and I've made some mistakes in my past, that there's no hope for me, then you are bound by your past. And you'll never rise above what you have already been. But God is standing there. I want you to understand this. God recognizes what you did. In the past, he doesn't condone what you did. Yes, you will reap what you've sown. But we've heard time and time again as we grew up that God will go into that reaping with you. And if the whole deal is he will bring you out. He'll stand with you in the heat of the day. He said, you're going to have to go through something because of what you did. But the whole point is I want to bring you through it. Which tells me there's something on the other side for me. But if I bind myself and put myself in prison to my past, I'll never go through it. Oftentimes because of fear, because of procrastination, laziness, whatever it happens to be, we will not go through. And we think that God is saying, oh, you're not going to, you know, too late for you. But God, I want you to know, is standing there and he's waiting for you to call. He's waiting for you to cry out. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I'm standing right there waiting. God does this. He told us this. He prophesied this to them. Watch this. He said, and turn from the wicked. He said, then will I hear from heaven and forgive them sins and heal their land. Then he did this. He said, wait a minute, let me say that again. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then and pray, then will I heal them. I'll hear them. And after he said that, he stood there and said, maybe it's not over there, let me. After he told us what to do, he stood there and he said, what does the 15th verse say? And God said, after he told us what to do, he stood there and said, now my eyes are open, I'm looking, and my ears are. I told you, now if you just pray and say, God, turn this thing around, I'll step right in immediately. I'll step right in. Now I'm a. But yet we're standing back here saying, well, because of my past, there's no need for me. So you're not going to pray about it. You're not going to seek God about it because you don't think you deserve it. You don't think you can have it. And God already told you, he said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. God is waiting for you to turn to him and he'll immediately come. But you know what the problem is? We simply don't think this is true. We don't think we deserve it. We think that God is just standing, waiting to beat us down. God's not waiting to beat you down with your mistakes. God is waiting for you to pray and turn that thing around so that he can bless you and pull you through what you're going to have to go through because of it. He's standing and waiting to build you back up. God told me something, Travis, showed me something this week. I didn't even know this, but you had mentioned that you wanted to help other people and you wanted to get into the criminal justice system. And I didn't even know that Judge Mathis is where you are. He was a thug, drug. Recognize that there are some injustices in the criminal justice system. They don't care about these young men. They just sit there ready and waiting to lock them up or to mess them up with the system. But he wanted to get into the system so that he could help somebody. So even after all he did was in jail, he came out of jail, he learned, he went back to school, he became a lawyer, and now he's a judge. He refused to be bound by his past. He refused to say, simply because I was in jail, they'll never let a person in jail, a felon, become a lawyer. You can't do that. That doesn't make sense. He refused that. But this is why the devil fights so hard with our minds. He recognizes, let me tell you, there's two reasons why the battleground is so fierce in the mind. First of all, because the devil recognizes the great impact that your thoughts have on your actions. Again, Creflo Dollar said, your thoughts, if you have negative thoughts, then you're going to have negative decisions. Well, first of all, negative beliefs. Those beliefs are going to affect your decisions. Those decisions are going to affect your actions. Those actions are going to affect your habits. Your habits are going to affect your character. And your character will affect your destiny. But it all started with what you thought. See, what you think, you're going to begin to speak. I don't care how much you try to hold it in. Eventually, if you allow this thing to get into your heart, what you think is going to get into your heart, and sooner or later, out of the abundance of that heart, the mouth is going to speak. And as the mouth speaks, you begin to become accustomed to that. It becomes, you will start doing what you say. And when you start doing what you say, eventually it becomes a habit. For many of us, it becomes a stronghold because you're now used to it. And as it becomes a stronghold, as it becomes a habit, it becomes part of your character. This is just what you do. And as it becomes part of your character will determine your destiny. You'll never rise above your own character. You'll never become more than your character will allow you to be. So one reason is that the devil fights so hard with our thoughts is because he recognizes that eventually it's going to end up our action. And we'll be working for him. The second reason is, very simply, because it's the one place that we so often allow him access to. Let me tell you, the devil cannot touch you spiritually. If you're a child of God, the devil has no access to your spirit. God says that you are in his hand and no man can pluck you out. The devil can't take you even if you allow. If you try to allow him to, the devil cannot take you from God. You're in his hand. But the one area of our lives, the body, soul, and spirit, the devil can't even touch your body unless he first goes to God and asks permission. But there's one area, and that's in the soulish realm, that God allows the devil, and we most often allow the devil to fight us. And it's in that realm of the spirit is where our thinking process is. And in our thinking process, we think about the thoughts that come to us from him. And so he battles us in the air of our thoughts simply because he has access to it. That's the only place that he can touch us. So when you pay more attention to what the word says rather than what the world says, you're guarding your thoughts. And as you guard your thoughts, you will not allow it to get into your heart. God told us to stand guard over our heart in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. Says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and cast down what? Imaginations. Where does imagination start? Right here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And listen, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. You are the one responsible who stands at the door as the guardian for the things that get into your heart. And when a thought comes, it is your responsibility to evaluate it, decide whether or not it's something that is trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. You are the one that's responsible for bringing every thought that comes into your body, into your mind, into the obedience of Christ. And if it doesn't, you have to arrest it. You then have to bind it. We have the power to bind, loose, arrest any thought that comes into our mind. God says to do this. Listen. Brethren, I count not myself, of Philippians 3:13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying here that once we get our mind fixed on what we want, nothing can stop us. Once you decide you want to be saved, the devil can't stop you from being saved. Once you decide, fixed in your mind, that you are delivered, then you're delivered right then. And so we've got to get this thing fixed in our mind, and we have to guard the things that get into our mind, because the things that are in our mind are the things that are going to impact where we end up. So how do I do this? What is it that I have to do to make sure that the things that end up in my heart, that will eventually come out of my mouth, that will eventually dictate my actions and eventually dictate my habits and eventually cause me to get a character, what? And that causing me to end up where God wants me to be. How do I really guard those things? God said this. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Listen, listen, listen. Remember this so you can understand where the scripture is coming from. Didn't he say to us, whatsoever things are honest and true and just and lovely and of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. He told us to think on those things, right? Tell me something. What is the one thing? What can I go that meets every single one of those criteria? You're the guardian, you evaluate. A thought comes, you have to evaluate it. What am I going to evaluate it against? I've got to find something that is pure, that's lovely, that's of good report, that's honest, that's virtuous, that's praiseworthy, worthy of praise. I've got to find something that meets all of these criteria and evaluate those thoughts against it. And if those thoughts don't pass, you say, stop right there. Hit, turn around, get out. Where can I go that I find something that meets all of those criteria? What is it that's true and lovely in all of those things? God says what? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We said that in order to be successful, we have to guard the way we think. It all begins with how we think, but we need to understand, how do I shape the things that I think? How do I guard the things that I think? The scripture says, this book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth. In other words, the way we guard those things, and that we map against the one thing that meets every one of those criteria every time, is the Word of God. You will not find anything that always meets these, every one of these criteria. You will not find anything else that you can positively stand on to say it's always true. It's always good. It's always loving. It's always praiseworthy. It's always virtuous. So God is saying here, what are we supposed to be thinking about? We have to constantly evaluate. We're always in a process where we're looking at, listening to what we hear, and we have to always be on our guard. If you sit down, the devil will take that as an opportunity to bring something to you. Somebody said that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. What is it? What do we mean by that? What old folks meant by that? They meant by that because when you're on your guard and a thought comes to your mind, you have stuff. The kind of power that only God could have given you that says, I can stop the thought and I can turn it around. But when you sit back and you relax, a thought comes in and just stays there a little bit too long. But if you were on your guard, you could have stopped it. And you match it up against the Word. When we flood our minds with the Word, then those things begin to germinate. These things begin to come into our hearts. Our spiritual, social, financial success, all of that begins with how much time you spend in thinking about the Word. If we spend all our time thinking about our problems, you're never going to experience victory. You're never going to experience deliverance. If you spend all your time thinking about how poor you are, you'll never be rich. You'll never experience the prosperity that God has for us. You'll never see the opportunities that God places before you. You ever see somebody who always looking for something, and God has placed opportunity after opportunity before them, and they keep missing it, but that they sit about and pour mouth all the time? Well, you just missed that job because they were sitting home crying about, I can never get anything. We miss opportunities all the time because our thinking process is wrong. When we think we can do it, we'll go out and look for it. If I think I can find it, I'll go look. If we spend all our time thinking about our sinful nature, we'll never experience true deliverance. Even though the Word has constantly told us, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He already told us that, and yet we constantly think about, I'm a sinner saved by grace. We're thinking too much on our sinful nature. So again, I ask, what can I think about? What should I be thinking about? The Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. If you fill your thoughts with more of what the Word says than what the world says, you'll become more like what the Word says and less like what the world says. For as a man thinketh, so is he. Travis, stand up for a minute and get the Word. I want you to turn to Psalms 139. Alan, stand up. I want you to get your Word and turn to Jeremiah 29 and 11. Psalms 139. The Lord has a word for you. And the word for you, he said, for both of you.